Navigation system.
Please say a command.
On. Ignition. Powered. Seatbelts. Fastened. Shift. Drive. Twin Cities sports fans, hold on tight. Live from the TCL broadcast studios, this is The Ride with Royce.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
The championship to New Jersey. The Devils win the Stanley Cup.
There it is, Doc Emmerich.
Wow, way to kiss up to the fill-in host, Manny Hill. Great, well done.
I figured I'd drop that in there for you, Tommy.
That was nice. That was nice. I was actually on the ice when the clock was winding down, so pretty cool memory.
When did the goosebumps start?
Well, we had a lead.
You guys were up big.
We were up big, like 5-2, yeah, with 7 or 8 minutes left, and so we started feeling it pretty early. In fact, our teammate, Mike Peluso, Minnesotan,
yeah,
was so moved that he was moved to tears and was on the bench welling up, and we were all, you know, enjoying it, but it spoke a lot about what it meant to him and,
sure,
and the group that we had, because, you know, a grown man in the NHL probably wouldn't cry unless they felt pretty close with their teammates, and we were all comrades. So yeah, great memories, but anyway, great to be on the ride with you guys, and I feel like I'm probably a little over my skis, but this is Tom Chorsky filling in for Patrick Royce, and Chris and Manny are going to help me along, and it's going to be great.
We're going to have fun. This is always, and I always tell people that people that take vacation around the holidays, you're dummies. This is the best time to work because, A, traffic is awesome. You always get the great parking spot because nobody's here. I love working around the holidays.
Yeah, and I heard the traffic out on the road is supposed to be like the worst.
Today is supposed to be, yeah, the bad day, but then by tomorrow, because everybody's either at where they're going or they're staying home.
Yeah, I'm going nowhere, right? I've got hockey tournaments to go to this weekend. I've got family Thanksgiving here, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm thrilled to be sitting right where I am.
Fantastic. I do have a serious wild question for you.
Yeah.
And I know you and Joe talked about it briefly last hour, but I watched a little bit of the game, and I don't really dive headfirst into hockey until football season is pretty much wrapped up.
Yeah.
But I still watch it because I love hockey.
Right.
I have an observation. I just don't think the Wild are very good. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, they're not good at playing 60 minutes right now. I know that, and they're inconsistent. But, and this has been mentioned, they don't have that superstar elite player like, sure, a Steven Stamkos or Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews. So they have to score by the proverbial committee. And when that's the case, you need to be healthy and more than one line needs to be going well. And you have to be defending well in case you don't get more than two goals or three goals. So for them to win, a lot has to, They have to play mistake free, and mm-hmm, they all have to, you know, 80% of their guys have to be going well on their game, and you know, they just can't really, there's not a lot of room for error, and because of their makeup. And, you know, another point might be that they don't have those marquee players that when they get on the power play, they're money, right?
Well, and I think last year, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think last year they, in the regular season anyway, they fell short in the playoffs, but in the regular season, I think they largely overachieved given the expectations that were kind of heading into last season. And I know the owner came up before this season started saying, listen, it's the Stanley Cup or bust. Like those were his expectations. And I think a lot of people, fans included, just thought, well, they had, you know, one of the best records in the entire league last year, that it was just a foregone conclusion that it was going to repeat this year. That's far from it.
Well, right now it's a little early, and you know, I always allow for the possibility of trades, although trades are difficult to pull off in this day and age with salary cap constraints, yeah, and the movement issues that the collective bargaining agreement puts on these teams. So it can be tough, but they also were looking at some of these young core guys, a Charlie Coyle, a Jason Zucker,
yeah,
Granlund, these guys, Nino Niederreiter, they're hoping that they haven't ceilinged yet. They're hoping that they're still getting better and that those players can continue to contribute a little bit more. And they're not far off, right? It doesn't take much. And I do think they might be a good playoff team if they peak at the right time, because they do have depth. And if their power play is going pretty well, they've got that. I think they've got the good makings to be a good penalty killing team against the opposing power play. Dubnyk can be good, right? So it's too early to throw in the towel or think they're not a good team, I think. But like I said, a lot has to be going right for them to win games. And it just feels like it's a lot more work than for some other teams that seem to be able to put the puck in the net a little bit easier.
So with that, sorry, man. So with that, because I know a lot of fans and, you know, people that are on this radio station that love hockey, they ripped Jason Pominville. Do they miss him with their lack of scoring?
Well, he's one of the bright spots in Buffalo when they play the Sabres tomorrow night. And he's continued. He's scored for them. I didn't think we were going to miss him. I thought, you know, he was kind of a little one-dimensional for me. He could score decently, had a pretty good shot. He would kind of go streaky, but...
And I get why they had to move his money, and I get why they made the move.
They had to move. They were going to move him back, and they found, you know, the Sabres took him back. He was their captain, so it made sense. And I never really spent a lot of time around him, but I will say this. He lived in Edina, and his kids played hockey. They're younger than mine, and I'd run into people that were on the same teams with him, and they said, couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that was good, but I didn't think they were going to miss him. But right now, when they do seem to be missing some scoring, and again, they had injuries. Granlund was out, Nino was out, Zach Parise's out. They're missing a little bit of that that offense. But in the end, I don't think we miss him that much.
You kind of touched on what my next question was going to be, in that, you know, you talked about the young guys, because I've said for a couple of years that, you know, getting Parise and Suter to come in was great because they were veteran guys and they were the top two free agent names on the market at that time. But I always felt like, okay, those guys are going to be who they were, but they need one of these young guys to really step up and become a superstar type player. Does Zucker or Granlund or Coyle, do any of those guys have that in them to sort of take that next step and become like an elite player? Because it seems like that's really what they need.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't put them in the category of Austin Matthews,
right,
and Connor McDavid and guys of that nature. But they still can be very, very good players. We talked a little bit earlier too, that one of the challenges the Wild has had is that they finish middle of the pack and they finish in the playoffs. They make the playoffs. And anyway, it impacts their draft position. And they aren't able to draft in the top five each year. And so it's harder to find those players that are going to develop.
And they never really have, aside from the year where they drafted Gabby really high.
Right.
But they were an expansion team at that time.
They got one of the high picks then. So,
well, and didn't they lose their first and second with the trade with, is it Hansel from Arizona? Didn't they give up a first and second last year?
Yeah, no, we wouldn't see that player for another 4 or 5 years anyway. But so what you're really hoping is that Zucker does continue to elevate his game, and it looks like he will. He's off to a really good start. Nino is going to be very good. Granlund, when he's going, he had a career year last year. Charlie Coyle had a very good year last year. So those guys can still elevate their game, and if we get into January, and by then, hopefully,
you know,
the team's clicking.
One thing I'd love to do, because I love when Bruce Boudreau speaks his mind, because I think he's fantastic at it. It's great for us.
Did you ever see him when he was on 24/7?
Oh, God.
With the Capitol deal.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's great. It's fantastic. But I'd love to pump him full of truth serum and ask him about Matt Dumba. I have a feeling the head coach would give us a few thoughts of his own, because the kid possesses all the ability in the world. He really does.
He does. He just sometimes his decision making seems to be lacking. Although, if he can, you know, get into a zone, and he seems to be playing better now. He does. He plays with a little jam. He's got a big shot that seems to be able to
find
its way to the back of the net. Yeah, he's willing to be tough. So, and he's still young, right? I think he's just a little immature. He needs to just a couple more years maybe, and he'd just start to grow up a little bit, and he'll be a good player. Well, with that, we'll take a break and we'll be back with The Drive. And this is Tom Chorsky, and we'll see you in a few. We're back on the ride. This is Tom Chorsky filling in for Patrick Royce and getting to hang out with Chris and Manny. And guys,
it's a pleasure, isn't it?
This is a pleasure. This will be the highlight of my week, probably. I was searching through the Twittersphere before the Devils and Wild game, doing a little bit of homework that way because it's just kind of easier to track down information about the opposing team. And I stumbled onto a media person that was covering the Devils, and they were in St. Paul for the first time.
Okay.
And one of the things she threw out there was, I'm in St. Paul for the first time. Where should I go? What should I do? And then there was a bunch of comments, so people started giving their suggestions.
Okay.
And there was a lot of go find a Juicy Lucy.
Sure, because like a lot of people that are coming in from out of town, yeah, absolutely.
They think that the Juicy Lucy is good, Mall of America, which isn't even in St. Paul. But
you know what, though? With the Juicy Lucy debate, yes, that's a great suggestion. But then that own entity explodes into a Twitter back and forth between who has the best one. And you really don't win that argument because there's about six spots in the Twin Cities or in St. Paul that are fantastic.
Right.
So it's tough to choose.
Right. She actually, the first reaction to her was when you said, when someone wrote, said, go have a Juicy Lucy, she was taken back. Like,
what is that?
What are you talking about?
Oh, man.
But there was, let's see here, Wild Rice Soup at St. Paul Grill, Surly Brewing,
sure.
which you would be familiar
with. Just down
with.
The street, absolutely.
Well, and you're talking beer later, right?
Yeah, beer show's on 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you for the pub, Tom Chorsky.
Can I come on sometime?
Do you want to stick around? You can absolutely hang out if you want to.
I might. I don't know.
I'll put it to you this way. As Manny can attest, usually the beer show's on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 right here on 1500 ESPN. The boys that come on the show, because I'm not allowed to partake until after the show is complete at 7 o'clock, it's an agreement that I have with management here at Hubbard, which is just fine with me.
Seems reasonable.
But the green room, a.k.a. the conference room over there, gets a little festive before the beer show begins.
As it should.
So you'll be able to... you'll be able to absolutely take part in the beer show tonight.
I'm going
to
take part a little bit.
Nice.
So back to this. What would you guys say? What would the St. Paul folks that I'm sitting with say?
Juicy Lucy, especially if it's somebody from out of town. This is their first time in St. Paul.
From the East Coast. Yeah,
absolutely. Juicy Lucy's got to be at the top of the list. But there's so many great spots to eat in St. Paul. So if you're not a burger person, I mean, you've got Cassettas, Mancini's, you've got all these great spots to eat. And that's, for the large part, that's what most media members are after is I want a good spot to eat and just have a little bit of downtime.
And a lot of those places are like right down the street from the X to them, like right in downtown. It's great.
Yeah. Except for Tom Reed's. We don't like Tom at all, so don't go there.
Someone did tell her to go and have the pecan-crusted walleye.
Oh, apparently, that is good.
Apparently it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Yeah, I've had that at Tommy's place.
Yep. Well, I just thought I'd get a quick reply from you guys on that.
And the thing is, when you're covering a team, you have such limited availability, especially when it's a sport like hockey, when you're basically, you're flying in, you do the game, and then you're flying out. You don't really have much flexibility with your schedule. Whereas when it's baseball, and you're there for 3 or 4 days, you've got time to go to a couple different spots. But so that's why it's different.
But these folks, these media types, and I can speak for the crew that I work with on TV, like a guy like Kevin Gorg, I mean, he doesn't like to go to bars and restaurants, but he'll always go see a movie if he can in the afternoon.
When he's going, before
he covers the game, he'll go to, like, he's a big movie guy. But the other guys are foodie types, and they are going to good restaurants, and they're going to have a glass of wine with a nice meal. And so it is part of that culture of the media folks that travel with teams, because they do get to go to different cities and try different places, and they want to know, where do I go?
You absolutely get to experience a lot of different cultures and throughout the country too. It's a good perk that goes with the job.
Yep. It really is. The other thing, switching gears a little bit to the Minnesota Vikings, we've talked a little bit about hockey and
you're a big football guy.
Bruce Boudreau. And well, what I like is I'm not deep diving. You guys can help me here, but what I see in Coach Zimmer, I like. He seems to be, and Spielman, I think they've got a good thing going here, right? 6 games in a row. And can we get to the Super Bowl? And I don't know.
We were discussing yesterday after they beat the Rams that they have put themselves into contention in the NFC. And I think it's largely due to the fact that the team to the East lost their star quarterback, and that that hasn't hurt their chances, obviously, to win the division, but I think in the NFC. But the NFL has such parity to begin with that I think we're seeing that really rear its head this particular season. Now, Philadelphia is good. Philadelphia is a very good team. They're a game ahead of the Vikings in the NFC, but outside of the Eagles, and Manny, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that there really is a clear dominant team in the league this year.
Not really. I mean, the Saints defense has improved from previous years, but the last couple of weeks their defense has kind of gotten lit up a little bit. So I don't think there really is another team. Even with Philadelphia, as well as they're playing, I don't think that they are an infallible team. I think they're beatable. I think to take a team like the Vikings or the Saints, perhaps, to maybe go into Lincoln Financial Field and beat them. But I think both of those teams really have the formula to go in and beat a team like Philadelphia, because they run the football and they can play pretty good defense.
And that's what's going to help them in the postseason, is that, as the old saying goes, defense travels. I mean, it's much easier to go into a place when you know you're strong on the defensive side of the ball to be able to stop somebody. And who knows? I mean, there's still a lot of season left to be played. I mean, we're not even to Thanksgiving yet. And I mean, there's still, what, six yeah. games left. So a lot's going to change between now and the end of the regular season. But yeah, what Zimmer's done after losing his starting quarterback, after losing his top running back and their top draft pick this year, is pretty remarkable. That. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Defense travels. Same thing in hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing in hockey, right?
And then in the AFC, I mean, New England obviously is going to be there every single season. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be wide open. And that's what makes this league so popular, is because every team, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, they go into the season thinking they have a chance. They do. And that's why this league is as popular as it is.
Right.
I think these last 6 weeks are going to be really critical, as they are pretty much every year, because I think you really start to see who is really, really serious and who is kind of good, but probably not quite yet. Like, Kansas City goes into New England and just destroys the Patriots in week one on that Thursday night. And they get off to that 5-0 start. And everybody's like, oh, my goodness, Alex Smith has taken the next step. And Kareem Hunt, this rookie, he's fantastic.
Right. He's fast, boy.
Yeah. But now they've lost 4 or 5, and now they just look like an ordinary football team.
And if you look at like Dallas, for instance, they had the best record in the NFC last year. Zeke Elliott gets suspended. They lost their left tackle. They're not even going to make the postseason this year. I mean, that's just how much the league can change, while all these teams are, for the most part, pretty similar by nature.
Well, and momentum has a lot to do with it. And as you get further into the season, right, like Manny was just saying, we're going to see who the real deal is as you get closer and closer, and who can elevate their game and step up.
And the one thing I think the Vikings really have going, they are one of the teams that really does have a dominant home field advantage. I know they lost to Detroit in week four.
It was week four, yeah.
But they really are tough to beat at US Bank Stadium.
I've been part of a team that moved into a new building. It can make a difference.
Gives you some extra juice.
I mean, it gives the fans, a little more energy, and I think just being in a new building it can be energizing, and it seems like it has been for the Vikings.
And that's why Thursday is huge. I mean, obviously, if they beat Detroit, which I think they're going to do, if they beat Detroit, they've now got a 3-game cushion. And because if they lose, now Detroit's only a game out, and they have the tiebreaker over the Vikings because they would have beaten them twice.
And Detroit has the easier remaining schedule.
That's
too.
True. Yeah. But if the Vikings win, and I think they will, they really are setting themselves up pretty good for the rest of the season.
And what they don't have, because Joe made sure before he bolted out of here to make that light.
that light, yeah.
He always has to make the light.
The 359 light.
He tries to be as gracious as he can, but he leaves without saying goodbye.
don't take it personal, by the way.
I don't.
He does it every day.
I don't. But they don't have a quarterback controversy, do they?
No.
And Joe said they do not.
I think, and I've been on this kick for a while now. I think Zimmer has been doing this with Case for the last couple of weeks because this is how he feels he needs to personally motivate him. And Zimmer's weird like that, which is what I love about Coach Zimmer. He thinks that, okay, Case is by nature and has been his entire career, he's been a backup. So I got to find ways to continue to light that match underneath them, knowing that yeah, if he keeps winning, I'm not going to bench this guy. There's no reason to do that. But I think that that's how he's personally motivating his quarterback. And I think it's pretty smart.
And I think I'm remembering I was listening to you the other night and you were talking about Tom Brady and Drew Brees situation. Was that you?
Might have been. I don't remember what
kind. Well, because they went through that
last
phase.
Segment, to be honest.
Well, that they went through that phase, right? Where
they were the backup.
He was the backup.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Ended up turning out pretty well. Well, when we come back, we will turn towards hockey a little bit, and the ride will continue.
Give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you everything Clucks.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like that.
Jess Myers now joins the ride with Royce
right now
for this edition of the Hockey Half Hour.
Tom Chorsky back in for Patrick Royce on the ride, and as you just heard, Jess Myers is with us, and we're going to talk a little hockey. Welcome.
Good to be here, Tom. I saw you last night a little bit. We talked in the press box. I got to ask you, I asked Zach Parise this, and I got to ask you as well. Strange watching the Devils a little bit still, or is still a soft spot there for you?
Well, certainly good memories for me, and he's still playing. I'm long gone, done, but it's a sentimental favorite, I think.
Sure,
and
sure.
And players, or some of my teammates, are part of the media, and I did a year in radio with them back in 2006, and so I worked with Chico Resch.
What's more emotional, Tom, seeing the Devils like Zach did or seeing Zach's paycheck? Is that a little bit more emotional?
Oh, man, seeing Zach's paycheck is more emotional.
only 8 years left on that contract.
That's
come on,
right.
He's yeah, well. Anyway.
Oh, I'm not ripping Zach, by the way. I'm just saying,
no,
I want to make that kind of money, too.
No, listen, I played in Pittsburgh with Jaromir Jagr, and just, I don't know what he was making then, probably $11 million, but his checks were $550,000 every 15 days.
Oh my God.
Goodness.
Every 2 weeks, he's going to the bank.
I'd do it for half that.
Right. I'm good. Yeah, right.
I think, like, well, maybe if we went on a road trip and he didn't cash that one and we came back and all of a sudden another payday came around, he's got 1.1 just in the sock drawer.
And he's still active, right?
He's playing in Calgary.
Man, yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So he came in like the year after I played. I played 10 years. I played with him my last year in 2000 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He's still playing. And that was 17 years ago.
Wow. Was Lemieux still there too in Pittsburgh?
He was done playing, but he was in management and in the ownership.
I just remember Jagr because he was a rookie in 91 when the Penguins made that first Stanley Cup run against the North Stars, of course. You know, he was this long-haired kid wearing number 68 that nobody had ever heard of, and oh boy, he can play.
He was really good. He was really good. Well, let's circle back to an article you just did. We're going to go back in time a little bit, and I don't know if I'd call it sentimental as we're talking about sentimental teams and games, but Jess, you just wrote an article about a game that I was involved in.
I wrote last weekend, Harvard, of course, came here to play the Gophers. And I thought, you know, flashing back to 1989, most famous game probably in Harvard history because it was their first national championship and one of the more legendary games in Gopher hockey history, the 1989 national championship game, St. Paul Civic Center, the old clear boards, you know, the classic place that so many kids dreamed of playing if you were a Minnesota kid.
I dreamed of it and never played.
Just a loaded Gophers team. I mean, just, you know, and, you know, some, I think you described it as maybe a college hockey all-star team, and that's not a far-off description. I mean, you're talking, you know, just a very deep, very talented team with the best goalie, you know, probably in all of college hockey, and Rob Stauber in net.
Had been a Hobie Baker winner.
Had won the Hobie the year before against a Harvard team that, you know, I get it. Around here, you take them lightly because, you know, little Eastern school, Ivy League, you know, what do they know about hockey? But that was a loaded, loaded Harvard team, too. They had three losses that year. Two of them were in overtime. You know, they had that year's Hobie winner in Lane McDonald. Bunch of fiery guys like Ted Donato and C.J. Young and Alan Barbeau and, you know, a couple of good goalies on that team. So just a classic, great back-and-forth hockey game. Packed house, you know, 15,000 of the 16,000 in attendance are rooting real hard for the Gophers.
Right.
And, you know, goes to overtime and Harvard got the win. But a fun memory. And I know, you know, I understand for you guys on the ice, probably some painful memories, but just, you know, some great hockey.
Yeah, it was great. And everyone always remembers to this day when you run into people and they'll say, oh, God, I was at that game or I remember that game. And Randy Skarda hit the post.
Poor Randy.
Well, he's in it. You talk to him. What do you say?
Well, he the great thing, and Randy has always been good natured about this. You know, he said he's always kind of laughed it off. He said, guys, you know, want to give him crap all the time. And he's, unfortunately for him, one of those guys like Gary Anderson. You know, you think of him missing the one kick for the Vikings that one year, you know, or you throw a guy's name out there and immediately they're associated with something negative, unfortunately, because Randy is a great guy. I mean, he's done very well for himself in financial planning. And like I say, has always had a good sense of humor. The one thing he said, though, in 2002, he was in a suite at XL Energy Center. Grant Patolny scores in overtime. The Gophers finally get the monkey off their back and win a national championship. He said, I hear it less now. He said, when I'm checking in for a tea time and they see my name, they don't automatically say, oh, yeah, the guy who hit the pipe.
So the more recent one kind of removed some of that.
Kind of took some of that away.
Yeah. And Grant Patolny was at the game last night. I don't know if you ran into him, but
yeah,
I saw
Grant a little bit.
Saw him in the press box. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Wild because, you know, I get asked because I cover the games here and there, and we talked a little bit about it before, but, you know, what's missing? And sometimes I'm texting with Pat Micheletti, and, you know, we can't quite maybe put a finger on it all the time, or you're not in the room, so you don't really know. You know, and as much as I played and I'm around the team, I can sort of speculate, but what do you think?
I just, you know, this is really tough to put a finger on, but there really does seem to be one little missing element, and what impresses me, I guess, in the last two games is you see that this team has the ability to kind of flip that switch. Mm-hmm. You know, sleepwalked a little bit. You know, first period, they outshoot New Jersey 12-3 last night. They wound up down by a goal. Kind of a fluky goal. And, you know, poor Olofsson, you know, he winds up, you know, two of them going in the net off him. You know, my snarky joke when the Wild pulled the goalie, I said, well, Olofsson's got a chance for the hat trick now. But that wasn't very nice of me to say.
The flip side was that the TV crew said on the next power play, they should put him in front of their net and it'll probably bounce off him.
Well, and when it went to overtime, you said, you know, you can just almost guarantee Olofsson's going to get the winner here because that's the way sports seems to go. But you know, and I don't know. You know, talking to Zach Parise a little bit last night in the press box, he looks good. He said he's feeling good. He's not on the ice, back on the ice yet. But you wonder if, you know, here's a guy who never, ever gets outworked at anything. Here's a guy who, once he's clear to get back on the ice, is going to go full bore. And I know he's a vocal guy in the locker room. You wonder if they're kind of missing that element, you know, that little something that Parise brings, not only on the ice, where he's obviously, you know, one of the great players that this franchise has ever had, but that little vocal addition in the locker room. I, you know, when times get tough, it seems it's always easy to say, where's Mikko Koivu? Where's his leadership? Where's his fire to get this team going? And I think this is another one of those times where Mikko hasn't done as much on the ice recently, so the, you know, with the team kind of mediocre, it's like, hey, who's the guy who's going to stand up and kick the garbage can when you need that to happen and say, hey, we got to get this thing going?
Yeah, well, there's no question that Zach brings his on-ice presence and his effort and his persistence is infectious, I think. And any team that he's ever been on, they live off or thrive off his energy. So they're definitely missing that. I don't think he was going to bring a ton of goals. You know, he's not going to be a 30 goal scorer anymore, but he finds a way to score big goals because of the way he plays, and he goes to the front of the net, and I do think deep inside he believes he can score a tying goal, he can score a game winning goal. When the chips are down, he steps up and plays well. A couple other things I kind of wanted to talk about: Eriksson Ek and Cunnan going down and what that means for the Wild, but we'll do that when we come back. This is Tom Chorsky on the ride for Patrick Roycey.
Getting you caught up on the week in pucks. It's the Hockey Half Hour with Jess Myers.
Combination that requires the highest level of conditioning, speed, creativity.
On the ride with Roycey.
This is The Ride with Roycey. Tom Chorsky in for Patrick Roycey, and Jess Myers is here, and we are talking hockey, and we're going to break. We mentioned that Joel Eriksson Ek and Cunnan.
Not Joel. We don't say Joel.
No, not Joel. It's spelled Joel, but he's Swedish, so we say Joel. Joel Eriksson Ek and Cunnan today sent down to the Iowa Wild, and Zach Mitchell being called up.
And Mitchell's been on a tear down in Iowa, I guess. He's been playing very well.
So. That's what I've been told as well. He was clearly their strongest player. And the Wild are known for rewarding players that do perform well. And I think it's a great thing to instill in those younger players or those players in the American League to be rewarded when they do play well. But with Erickson Ek going down and Cunning going down, I think it's pretty clear that they are first round picks that need to develop.
Right.
And they're, as well as they're playing, I guess, responsibly on the third line and they can hang with NHLers, as first round draft picks, they're not going to develop much of their scoring ability, because in order to become a 20 goal scorer, or hopefully a 40 goal scorer, we'd settle for 30, but you're not going to do it when you're playing in the NHL in a third line role and having to focus on defense. Your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. You know, they say the story today was, we're going to send these guys down, get them some ice time, get them some confidence, get them playing again. I wonder if that's a double-edged thing. You know, it seems to me you would have more confidence saying, I'm good enough to play at the NHL level. When you get sent down to Iowa, there's a natural thought that I'm being demoted. I can't cut it at this level, or at least they think I can't cut it at this level. But I get that. You know, you go down to that level, you're a team leader. It's, you know, this is the time of year when youth hockey teams are being picked, and there's always that thing, would you rather be the, you know, the last guy on a B team or the best player on a C team? You know, right. That's, especially when guys are developing, and at that age, I really like what I've seen out of Cunning so far. I mean, just one of those guys with a motor that's going all the time. He's got some size. He does some good stuff around the net, even if it's just taking the goalie's eyes away and you know, going hard to the net that way. I haven't seen that kind of impact from Erickson Ek, but I think, you know, obviously they saw something from him. And when you look at how much time they gave guys like Jason Zucker and Mikhail Granlund to kind of develop their game at those lower levels and how that's paying off now. You know, we used to joke, we called the road between Des Moines and here, we called that the Jason Zucker Expressway, because he got, you know, called up and sent down so many times. Now, you'd be hard-pressed to trade him for anything with the kind of offensive impact he makes on that team.
Yeah, he's really figured out his game with his speed and his skill, and now he's plays with a little bit of grit and certainly some drive, and he sticks his nose into traffic. So sure, he's figured it out. And I do think, you, as you mentioned, going down can sometimes feel like a demotion. I'm sure that they had good conversations with him and just said, look, we want you guys to play some power play time. We want you to score some goals and have a little more time and space to handle the puck and kind of get that feeling back. I get that. When it was a long time ago, but when I went to Montreal, I made the team
yep.
out of training camp. And I think there was an injury too to a veteran, and so there was a spot, but I really did play well enough. I was full of all kinds of enthusiasm and adrenaline, but after about 10-12 games, that was starting to wear off, and they couldn't play me the minutes that I needed to play to really get much done. And so I remember they came to me and they said, you're just going to go down for the weekend. And this was after about game 12, I think. And the team in Sherbrooke had a couple games that weekend. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go down and I'll be back on Monday. Well, that did not happen. I went down and never came back. But
I could ask you, being an American kid getting sent to Sherbrooke, Quebec.
Oh, if you're familiar.
I'm not familiar, but I'm guessing small town Quebec, you know, not a lot of folks who speak English and not a lot of Americans.
Exactly. I mean, it was very, very culture shockish, very small town. And south, it's actually south of Montreal between Vermont, and it's where the Sherwood hockey stick factory was. So we had really good access to good sticks.
But, I grew up in Morrow. I know about having good good access to sticks, because everybody there had a Christian Brothers when
exactly,
I was a kid.
Exactly. So, but yeah, very small town and very, very French speaking village almost. So that, and I had a little bit of French, so I could maybe understand a little bit. But anyway, I didn't come back from the American League, but it ended up being a good thing for me, because I was able to go down and start scoring and play on the power play and have some success. So hopefully that's what's going to bode well for them.
You and I were talking off air, a couple of other Iowa Wild names that the folks around here maybe are curious about. Kyle Rau, who they picked up in the offseason, who had been in Florida. I think he played a couple dozen games for the Panthers last year. Mr. Hockey Winner, a guy that folks around here know very well, not only from what he did at Eden Prairie, but his career with the Gophers.
It was fantastic.
Absolute spark plug on those Gopher teams. And, you know, another guy who probably should have finished his career with a national championship. That game against Union was, a heartbreaker in a lot of ways for a pretty confident team. He's down in Iowa. He's was injured earlier in the year when they were calling guys up, so hasn't gotten the call yet. but I'm just looking at their numbers right now. He's played a dozen games, 4 goals, 4 assists for them. So he's right in the mix as far as guys who have done well offensively. The other name that people think about with the Iowa Wild, at least around here, is Mario Lucia, Don Lucia's son, you know, 4-year guy at Notre Dame, a second round draft pick by the Wild. 11 games for him so far, 1 goal, 3 assists. So, you know, maybe not the numbers they're looking for, you know, a playmaking forward like they had kind of projected him.
Yeah, pretty high draft pick, second round, and certainly considered an offensive player. So he's adjusting maybe to pro hockey, and sometimes it takes a little while, but physically he's certainly gifted enough to play the pro game. And then there's Justin Kloos as well, who got a shot.
Yep, got a couple games this year with the Wild.
Which would actually, I was a little surprised that he got such a quick look, but he came up and I didn't see him play, but from what I understand, he looked pretty good. And you know, he is the type of player that can score goals because that's what he did in college. And sometimes just having that belief and having that skill set can work for you in pro hockey.
For the Bulldog fans out there too, Carson Soucy, 16 games at defense for them. He's got 1 goal so far and 2 assists. You know, you're not looking for points from him as a defenseman, but doing pretty well. And speaking of Bulldogs, congratulations to Dom Taniainoto, who was on a captain for the Bulldogs last year when they made it to the national championship game. Just played his first NHL game with the Colorado Avalanche, and he got his first assist. So
And then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt, yeah. So, unfortunately, we probably won't see him here Friday when the Avalanche come to town.
But he's a good hockey player.
Yeah, he'll do very well there. You know, his dad was a great player on those Bulldog teams in the mid-80s that made a run to the national championship game as well. So
you remember that?
Yeah,
well, you're from up there.
I was in high school then, but I remember, you know, Surdy kind of came out of nowhere and had some pretty amazing teams there for a couple of years.
Well, I'm getting the hook here, so the ride is going to return. I'm Tom Chersky in for Patrick Roycey, and we'll be back. Tom Chersky back in the ride, on the ride, in for Patrick Roycey and joined by Jess Myers. And we are talking puck, and we've covered the Wild. We've covered a little bit of college, and let's talk high school.
The girls have started already.
They have.
And the boys start this weekend. There were jamborees all over the state last weekend. I actually went up to Warroad and Roseau, believe it or not.
How was it?
Had a great time. My son is going to be a senior playing for Simley High School down in Invergrove Heights. And his team went up there, got to scrimmage some teams you don't normally see, got to play in that old rink in Roseau where I know Manny used to do some work back when he was a radio guy up there. And what a great experience for the kids. I mean, just, you know, and good hockey, too.
I've been up there a few times with our kids, and the people are so gracious. They give you a spaghetti dinner downstairs at the Legion.
The Roseau folks are smart. They have a youth hockey tournament just about every weekend up there.
Right.
And every Saturday at noon, they've got a spaghetti feed at the VFW. So, you know, they're raising money. They're feeding the kids. I mean, it's just a great system. They have the folks in Waro, you know, do a nice job. People come up there. They play in a tournament. They go ice fishing. I mean, make a whole weekend out of it. So, and the hockey is fantastic. That Roseau team is really stacked.
The Roseau boys are coming down to Edina, I think, in about 10 days.
Yep. So, and Grand Rapids, the story, you know, won the title last year. They lost their coach, McLaughlin, probably their best player, decided he's going to stay in the USHL. He's going to be a Gopher next year. So a much different scene for them. And Moorhead, it sounds like, is the team to beat now.
Well, it's going to be fun to get the high school hockey going as well. And we'll be in full force not too long here. Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Jess, thanks for coming in.
Good talking to you, Tom.
Yep. And we will be back from the ride.